Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, we are back here at on the Tip of the Tower podcast, and it's been a little while. We have been a little busy, and the Leafs have, I don't know what to make of this last few weeks with the Leafs.
I don't know either. It's sort of just that middle of the year where who really cares?
Well, we care.
It's like the Christmas break, and it's like just get me to April at this point. The first 2 months were fun, and Babcock got fired, but like I don't care.
This is something I will say. There were only out of the 4-game road trip that they just had. There were only 2 games that I really cared to watch: the Vancouver one and the Edmonton one.
And you know what I love more than anything? Beating them Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, it's kind of like it's kind of like the death taxes the Leafs beat up on the Oilers. They've won what, 8 in a row?
Yeah, they must have.
I think it was like 8 of 9 they've beaten the Oilers or something like that. It's just interesting because, you know, we hear about which Canadian team will be the next one to win the Cup. Which one will break the drought? Oh, which Stars would you rather have? My favorite, though. My favorite this time around, because the Canucks media have embraced the youth movement.
Just full-on little man syndrome in Vancouver. Holy hell.
And there's a couple of things from that. So the question that was kind of penciled in this week was, which core would you rather have? The Canucks core or the Leafs core?
They got a pretty good, solid stable of players, but I mean, the Leafs just have more.
Yeah.
Like there's four really good players on Vancouver. I guess you can add JT Miller to that. And then the Leafs have like 6.
Oh, I mean, for sure. And most of the Canucks core, other than Besser, Pettersson and Hughes, have not been drafted by the team, right? Like JT Miller was not a draft pick. Ferland, who I don't really consider a core guy because he hasn't really played.
Is he gonna have to retire? By the way,
man, he's been through a rough time. 2 concussions already this year, or I don't know if they've diagnosed this one as a concussion, but this is not good for him.
No.
You hate to see it because this is a guy that, Jake, we wanted the Leafs to look at.
Yeah, I did. I liked his game. He's a pretty effective player. And, I mean, especially with, like, head injuries, too, that's just that you got to hope for their, like, long-term health.
Yeah, so I think they're taking the cautious approach when it comes to his health. The funny thing was, I'm going to try to find the quote, because I think when we talk about the popularity of the Leafs around the league, and, you know, people kind of are sick and tired of hearing about the Leafs all the time, and, like, you hear Canucks, even the media out there in Vancouver were kind of trying to give a little shot, but this is here's what Kerfoot said, because I think that he sums up kind of the feeling of a lot of people when it comes to, like, the popularity the Leafs have. So Kerfoot, who we know is a Vancouver native, I was a Canucks fan, but I was never one of those guys that just hated the Leafs. A lot of people are just jealous the Leafs get more attention. And I'm just like, the fact that he can openly say that, I think says a lot about what other people kind of refuse to admit. We understand that the Leafs get maybe overhyped at times, but there's a reason for it. Like, I don't understand where people, you know, I see it all the time on Twitter. Oh, why do the Leafs get so much attention? They're trash. They haven't won a cup in forever. It's, we don't conjure up all this hype. Considering how massive the fan base, we literally take over the West, like all the arenas in Western Canada when we go there. And the only city that doesn't have a problem with it, funny enough, is Calgary.
Yeah, I don't mind Calgary. They don't bitch and complain about everything.
Yeah, and they don't complain about other teams. Like, they probably complain about the Oilers because that's a legit rivalry there. But other than that, you don't hear the Flames fans rag on Leafs fans. Because it's just not their style. There's no little man syndrome when it comes to that. I don't like using that word, but it's kind of how I base
it. It's literally how the rest of Canada, Calgary aside, looks at the Leafs. We talked about this in our chat. Calgary is the only Canadian. Calgary and... No, just Calgary. I'm trying to think of the benefit of the doubt for other franchises, but they all have...
Definitely not Winnipeg. Definitely not Montreal. Definitely... I mean, Ottawa is just...
Certainly not Edmonton or Vancouver.
Yeah, I mean, Ottawa is just not big enough to really...
Montreal fans have kind of become irrelevant in that conversation because they're just, oh, 13 cups, 67, you suck. It's like, okay.
I've never really even thought of Montreal as, like, a rival.
No.
It hasn't...
I don't anymore. I don't know.
Buffalo's a bigger rival than Montreal to me.
Probably.
What, did we start playing meaningful hockey against Montreal a year ago?
Not even.
Not even meaningful.
The games haven't been that high stakes. It's just because it's Montreal-Toronto and both teams don't blow.
And let's just say Montreal hasn't really played many meaningful games. Like, this is probably the closest they'll be in a long time in terms of playing some really meaningful. Like, last year they were on the bubble and then they faltered.
They need to stop trying to convince themselves that playing a natural winger as your number one center is the best way to win.
Yeah.
They'll be fine. And they shouldn't have pushed Kotkaniemi up so early. They should have given him a year in Finland.
Nope. And the funny part is, Mark Bergevin says, I'm not going to make a trade to mortgage the future. And I'm like, well,
guess what? Mark Bergevin's going to trade for 8 fourth liners like he did a couple of years ago.
The best is, like, well, you're mortgaging your future by playing a guy like Kotkaniemi when he shouldn't be playing. And
put him in Lavelle. Do something other than what you're doing, because he's got like 10 points, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's. I always thought that trade was not. That pick was not the right pick for them. And
it's like, yeah. In hindsight, I mean, he was the most hyped center going in. I even thought Barrett Hayden getting drafted so high was a bit of a reach, but that's away she goes, unfortunately. But. Like, I don't want to get off of Montreal too much.
Was that 2017?
18.
That was the...
Was that the
Stallion draft?
Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
But I mean, I don't think it has anything to do with the pick itself. I think it's that you forced an 18-year-old. It's like the Oilers thing all over again. You force an 18-year-old into the lineup because you have a need that's you're so desperate to fill.
Yeah.
And you're seeing what's going on with it. So hopefully he gets back onto it because he got dumped on his head a couple weeks ago and he got concussed. So he shouldn't be up here right now. He should be playing in the A until he gets some confidence.
Yeah, they could have had. So I'm just. I remember we talked about this. Like they could have had guys like Tkachuk. I think we discussed this actually exactly this conversation in the group chat. They could have had guys like Tkachuk, Hughes. Let's go down the list here. Sorry, I gotta scroll.
Barrett Hayden, they could have had, who is a two way center, and he has a better build. Honestly, he's built out a little more.
Like, they could have gone for those guys, but they drafted for need. And I feel like that's not the way you should go.
For need is fine as long as you're not
reaching
as bad as they are. Well, no, I mean, it's passable.
Just take the best player available. Like,
yeah, but if you're trying to get a center, but the next, like, the best center, you're picking at 3, as they were, the best center ranked wasn't until 11. So don't reach just to fill a need.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
If there's a guy that was ranked like 7 or 8, then okay, fine. It's weird, but whatever. You can get away with it. But they took a guy that was ranked like 15th, like barely a lottery pick, as the 3rd overall pick because they needed a guy. And he was the most hyped. Anyhow.
Yeah, so that completes that. Interesting time in Leafland, though, because... Okay, so they go 3-0 and 1 on that road trip. 3-1 and 0 on that road trip. I felt like the Calgary game, that could have easily been a 4-0 road trip.
Yep.
What stuck out to you mostly about that road trip? For me, Anderson, I'm worried that he's getting a lot of work, that he should have had one game off in that road trip. But I understand also that Pointer, if he's rolling, you play him. But I also feel like if he makes 40 saves and then you're throwing him back out after you travel, I understand you can't trust Hutchinson, but you also need to think long term about Freddie.
That's their issue. Is they, it's you can't put Hutch in the net, and you know. The stuff's coming about the Russian goalie today, about him wanting to grab him. Great, he's not coming over till next year, so it's that same thing again. If Freddie gets injured, the Leafs are screwed.
Yeah,
that's like a lot of teams, though.
It's not a Leafs-only problem, but Michael Hutchinson has proven that he can't keep more than 4 pucks or less than 4 pucks out of his net in the game, which is worrisome. And that's why they don't play him. But Freddie, I mean, as soon as he said he wanted to play, what should we call it? As soon as Hutchinson was supposed to play on the back-to-back, Freddie asked him to put in. That's pretty much it. It's Freddie's world now.
We heard that rumor today about we'll get Jack back in the conversation that he was moving out of the frame, but. That's why the goaltending rumor today about, how do you say his name again? I don't even
remember his name. It's something extremely Russian.
It is Timur Bilyavov.
Yep.
Jake,
you gave it a good try.
Jake, do you know how to say this Russian goalie? The Leafs are interested.
Oh, the Russian goalie's name?
It's Timur Bilyov. I guarantee once you hear it, it's gonna be like so easy to pronounce.
Oh, Timur Bilyalov.
Yeah, that sounds better than
Bilyalov.
Jake, here clearly, yeah, that's a little better than my attempt.
Timur Bilyalov.
So, I was looking.
Okay. Let's calm down here.
Okay, Jake, Mister, I can say Russian name.
Losers don't know Timur Bilyalov, man.
Mr. Lingual, man.
He's gonna as soon as he comes to the NHL and we hear it, we're all gonna be so wrong on this one. But
yeah, it's gonna be like Timush or something like that, like something ridiculous.
Yeah. Well,
not ridiculous,
what's also ridiculous is his numbers. Like, this guy is putting up, it's not just like, you know, 924. It's like in the 930s, 940s, even 960s, which you don't see.
I think he's got like a 1-1 goals against. I thought I read it.
Yeah, 16 games, he's got a 110 goals against and a 950 save percentage.
So that's not just
four games where he's been on a heater. That's 16 games.
So my kind of worry about sometimes with Russian players is like, oh, you know, this guy's probably like a late 20s guy just looking for one last chance to go to the NHL. Like kind of like Koskinen, he's an older guy. This guy's 24.
Yeah.
He's 24.
Yeah, that's quite young.
Quite young for a goalie to be that good at the professional
level. Like, how old are the, like, top Russian goalie prospects that are
on the Rangers?
Yeah, they got to be, like, pretty close to that. Like, how old
is Samsonov? I believe 23.
How old is Samsonov?
He's 21 or 22.
He's 22. Yeah. He's about to turn 23.
And
so
Sorokin's about 23 or 24.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's pretty – Sorokin's 24, same age. And Shesterkin, the Rangers pick, is 23, yeah, about to turn 24. So these, like, pretty much all the same. Yeah, I mean, again, I think this is the best part about the Leafs just mining Russian players is pretty much they are the go-to spot for these guys. Because, yeah. I mean, we were just talking about this, our favorite agent, Dan Milstein. He has a pretty good rapport with the Leafs. I mean, a lot of his clients have gone with the Leafs. I mean, even though some of them have worked to varying degrees, I think he's been, you know, pretty happy, especially with that, you know, Zaitsev contract, which now I'm very happy we signed because it just gives you good rapport with agents. And nowadays it's so important, especially with the debacle we've seen in the past couple months with the jackass that's Marner's agent.
Darren!
Yeah.
The other thing too about I'm not even gonna say about Timur, I'm just gonna use the first name. He's 174 pounds, 5'10".
He's 5'10".
He's 5 foot ten.
That's the one problem.
Yeah, it's pretty small, huh?
So I was okay. How does a big guy, especially
if
in the
Olympics, if he was 6'4", he wouldn't be a free agent right now. Let's be fair.
No,
he probably. That's the thing. I think this is a case where a goalie gets overlooked because of his size.
Isn't Johnny Burns pretty similar size? Wow, yeah, he is 5'10". That is very small.
Well, apparently, like, the big thing about him is positioning, right? Because if you're a smaller goalie and you're not
cutting, yeah, you better have good friggin' positioning. It's not like you're cutting down angles.
No, so I'm curious, just because I'm writing about this too. It's like, okay, Joseph Woll. This is his first professional season. You want your goalies to typically get a couple years in the minors before you even think about giving them NHL games. Ian Scott has not played a game this year because of an injury. I don't even remember what the injury was. It was a broken hand?
Something lower body. It's a groin or something.
He hurt it in preseason or in training camp, right?
Yeah.
I remember that. I don't remember exactly. I don't think they really announced what the injury was. And, like, other than Casimir Kaskasuo, or Kasueo, I don't know how they...
Kaskasui, as O-Dog likes to call him.
I don't know what what the Leafs' plan is next year when it comes to the backup. And I guess this is why this rumor came out. Because I think this year has shown you have to get a backup. You have, like, Freddie is making $5 million. You should be able to afford. When I think about how much teams are allocating to goaltending, as a club, the Leafs should technically be able to invest at least $1 million into a decent goalie. But
yeah, I mean, I don't think I'm the only one that thinks Kaskasuo should get another shot before the end of the year.
I think if Hutchison plays this week, because they have another back to back, if he falters, how can you continue to give him chances? This is not, as I like to call it, the goodwill team. You need your backup goalie to show he can make a say, like, be good.
Yeah.
I think you definitely try to exhaust all internal options before you go out and try to trade or pick up someone off waivers. But teams are, and I think this is something I think people need to realize. And people are like, oh, go get Casey DeSmith, go get Tristan Jarry. First off, Tristan Jarry is not going anywhere. The guy has been unreal for Pittsburgh. Teams aren't just going to give away players to solve your problems. I think Jake, you've been admirable about this. Like, what team wants to look at Leafs and say, oh, you need a goalie? Yeah, we can help you. No. It's like, you want it, you got to pay
for it. Yeah, they'll say, yeah, we can help you. Just give us one of your young forwards.
Yeah. It's, you're not getting bailed out by somebody putting a solid backup goalie on waivers like they did with McElhinney. It's just not happening.
The thing that, like, annoys me is, I mean, I've said this, beat this drum for a while. Like, Dubas, for all the things he's done, has done a horrible job with the backup thing. I mean, you know, he had one option with Neuwirth and didn't have a backup, and it clearly failed. But, like, some of the excuse-making and, like, blaming and stuff like that, is there one legitimate backup goalie that was signed in the offseason that's done well? Like, the Canadians, who have a bunch of cap space, paid up a lot of money for Keith Kincaid. He got waived. Curtis McElhinney's been horrible.
For Tampa, yeah.
Like, a bunch of backup goalies have kind of stunk.
Yeah, McElhinney was always, like,
he plays like a road hockey. He plays like a road hockey goalie.
He just made the stop some of the, like, the majority of the time. But he was swimming a lot of the time.
You look at him and you're just like, oh my God, he could allow seven tonight. The difference between him and
Garrett Sparks was not that big in play, in my opinion. They both swam in the crease.
I think he's more of a battler. McElhinney. Like Sparks, I just never felt like Sparks had any confidence. He just seems like a guy that has no confidence in himself.
That 9:30 season in the AHL, it was like, I think I've heard people say as well that he made all those crazy saves, like the one with his bare hand, but he had to make those saves because he was out of position. And he was just diving back to make a save. It wasn't because he had no other choice. So it's one of those things. You're swimming in the crease, and McElhinney made those saves. Sparks didn't. And, well, on to Hutch.
Like, I'm trying to look here and see if I can filter through the goalies here. I'm just trying to look at backups. Like, hey, Tristan Jarry, probably good. Pavel Francouz, I think that's how you say it, the guy for Colorado, he's been good. Georgiev has been good for the Rangers. Halak's being paid as a 1B. He's not being paid as a backup.
That's the team I'm looking at if I'm looking for a goalie is New York. What the hell are they going to do with that goalie situation?
Yeah, Georgiev.
Because they're not trading Hank.
Well, Georgiev is he's a free agent at the end of the year.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is they're gonna ride Hank until he retires, and then Seth Storkin's gonna come in.
Yeah, I'm
looking, Georgiev.
Yeah, like I'm looking at backups here. There haven't been many good.
All right, screw it. Sign Jonas Gustafsson.
Oh God. Yeah, like. Curtis McElhinney, 898 save percentage. I thought we had it bad.
He's got like a 3.6 goals against, doesn't he?
Yeah, 3.6.
I mean, what does Hutchinson have? Doesn't he have an 8.7?
8.76, 4.55.
He's awful. He's awful, right, but we're splitting hairs. That's the thing. Like, I'm trying to think. Like, even just look at it. Like, there's probably, what, like, been four good backup goalies in the entire league? Like, Tristan Jarry.
I got him right here.
Arizona's backup, whichever one it is, because I know they split.
Well, Ronta is the backup now, because Kemper's been unbelievable.
So Ronta's been, let's just go through it. Halak has been amazing.
Yeah.
Francouz has been amazing.
Yeah.
But he might just be the starter for Colorado at this point.
Well, I think Grubauer's back, so.
I think Tristan Jarry, but he might be the starter at this point.
Yeah, I think he is.
Thomas Greiss. They kind of split, so that's four. Hudobin and Samsonov. And maybe, yeah, that's it.
Well, Georgiev has been good, six. Too.
Has he, though?
923 save percentage and a 269 goals against.
Okay, all right, then there's seven.
Yeah.
And maybe Mrazek's been pretty good. And that's about it.
Well, you know, I just
go ahead,
realized the 1 year, I'm just remembering that the Leafs had the year that the Marlies won the Calder. They obviously had Sparks and they had Pickard. And then we had McElhinney in the NHL. But then they also sent Alex Daylock home because you remember he had that shutout game against the Leafs?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's been all right. He's got a 908.279.
Yeah, I was trying to think of who's been playing since Dubnyk's been injured, and it's been Staylock.
Right. They did have Staylock. That's pretty annoying.
They told him to go home, and so I think he asked for his release.
They also have this guy, Kakkonen.
Oh, yeah, Kaapo Kakkonen. To be confused with Kaapo Kakko.
No, not at all.
What team is he on?
Minnesota.
He's on Minnesota?
Yeah, because I think he asked for his release.
Is he their third goalie or something?
Yeah, because Dubnyk's injured, so he was brought up to back up Staylock. And I think Staylock.
Oh yeah.
They're giving these two young goalies a chance. There was another one that started for them yesterday. Another goalie that the guy for Florida that backed up, Chris Driedger or something.
Driedger. He's the top stats-wise goalie in the A.
Yeah.
He's got like a 9.3.
He had two starts, .942 save percent. I mean, it's two starts. It's not enough of a sample size, but.
I think he won one of them in a shootout.
I think he shut out in his debut, I think. And like right now, the Habs are going with Caden Primo.
Who I told you, Renaud Lavoie said he was the best goalie at 20 years old a couple of years ago, right?
Yeah.
He was better than Carter Hart, even though Carter Hart was a full-time starter, and he was still in the CHL.
It's an idiotic comment.
Brendan says a lot of very smart things.
Well, all I'm going to say is the Leafs definitely need to make that a priority. Even this year for sure, next year, do whatever.
Yeah, but who are they going to get? I think the only one who they could get realistically is Georgiev.
Yeah.
But I don't see any reason why the Rangers.
He's Russian.
I don't even know if he is Russian.
Is he not?
I feel like he might be like Slovakian or something like that.
Oh, he might be Belarus.
He's Bulgarian. Bulgaria, Belarus, BGR, I'm guessing.
BGR is usually Bulgarian.
Yeah.
Wow. Huh. He's 178 pounds.
Yeah, he's not that big.
But he made like 45 saves that one game against the Leafs.
Yeah, Bulgaria. I've never heard of that. Never. He's got to be the only NHL player in history to come from Bulgaria.
One of them.
It's like Dinas Zubers was from Lithuania. It's not a lot of Lithuanian hockey players.
No, I've never heard of that.
Yeah, and Georgiev has been getting a lot of work for the Rangers lately. So like they're clearly
basically been their starter.
I think, they're
almost in the playoffs, so that's not going to happen.
No,
I mean maybe you could get Casey DeSmith.
That seems like
that's probably the only realistic one.
I take DeSmith at this point.
I mean, so would I.
I'd
take a goddamn shooter tutor, but that's not saying a lot.
Yeah.
No, it's not. So moving on from the backup goalie situation, John Tavares, I think, is low key
unbelievable.
Against Vancouver, he was on a mission.
He looks absolutely dominant.
I think having Marner back really helps too.
Of course,
it's a no brainer scenario, but like you see him everywhere. Like you see him in all situations, just like with the puck. He's making guys look silly with the chances he's getting. He's acted like a captain lately. But acting like he's been the least best player.
It's also the system just fits him better, his game. It's not end to end like it used to be with Babcock where they don't reset the puck and do all this stuff that allows him to. He's not the fastest skater, so he's got to keep up with the rest of them, and it just seemed like he was behind some of the time.
Well, see, like, yeah, he's not the best skater, but he's smart with, like, his
position. Yeah, that's the thing, is this plays more to his style, is what I'm saying, because Babcock's was just end-to-end, chip the puck in. mm-hmm. go get it. And then if you don't get it, you're back on defense. It was very end-to-end. It wasn't frantic, but it wasn't what Keith is playing right now, which is more of a possession game, which Tavares is one of the best possession players in the world, to be honest.
I think so. And I think like him, like Zach, him having Tavares, Hyman, and Marner together, I think has really stabilized things on that top line.
I think Hyman, absolute sniper since he's come back.
Shorthanded too.
Oh.
Yeah, he's
What was the game? Was it Vancouver where he just scored a one-timer that went straight in the middle of the net?
I think that was St. Louis.
Doesn't pick corners at all.
I think it was St. Louis. He literally took a one-timer. It went right in the middle of the net, and it somehow went in. I was like, oh, my God, this guy sucks so much.
Bennington just well, Bennington just was terrible in that game.
Oh, he got shredded.
His five-hole was like, come on in, guys.
A ten-hole.
Yeah, I think Matthews scored five-hole. Hyman scored five-hole.
Like, five-hole, people always talk about how five-hole, like, it's got to be the hardest shot to stop. If you properly, like, put it, like, 2 to 3 inches off the ice or just perfectly on the ice, it's impossible to stop. Yeah. Especially if you have a quick release. But, yeah, I mean, so many goalies try and overcompensate for it. But, yeah, I don't know. It happens.
Even Gauthier went top bunk against Edmonton the other night.
Oh, that was great. That was probably the highlight of the game.
That was so funny.
Just pounding it dead center is hilarious.
Because it was funny because I was watching it with my dad, and I'm like, why the hell is he on the damn ice?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, shit, he sniped it.
Sounded like me out here.
That was his first game back, right? After
yeah, it was. Pitch.
The Bozak principle strikes again, Jake.
Oh, yeah, that's perfect. You're just the mushing. Just the complete mush.
Oh, absolutely.
You need something to happen, and the complete opposite happens.
Yep. Yes. That's what happened with the Nylander jersey situation.
Yep.
Although, lately...
Except I was happy about that one, so although, it doesn't really count.
Although, lately...
I was happy about them, regardless.
Lately, he... I mean, I don't know.
Hey, you watch it.
Let's be honest here, Austin. Has not... I mean, he's been moments, but hasn't been entirely good.
I mean...
They've been Matthews and Nealon have been getting absolutely shredded on overdrive. Jake, I know you're a big overdrive.
As they have, I've really hated their effort.
Yeah,
because it's so annoying because they're so good, yet they're right. I thought O-Dog had it perfect. He goes, when they show up, they're dominant. When they don't, they look like they don't care.
And I think. It's easier for a guy like O-Dog to say that because guess what? He's played. It's easy. This is where, like, when you're a hockey player, a former hockey player, and you're an analyst, you can call out that stuff because you know, and O-Dog probably knows, I've played like that before. Like,
I think that's the thing for him is you can tell he's, like, super frustrated watching him because, remember, O-Dog's the guy that said, you know, when Matthews was on fire at the beginning of the last year, he's the one that made the comment saying, like, I love Connor McDavid, but I'd be pretty happy having Matthews instead of him. So he's kind of, like, put his neck out on the line for him. And, I mean, he said he has probably the best wrist shot in the entire league. So, I mean, even myself, who hasn't played at the NHL level, you just watch a guy who every single time he shoots, it can go in. And you're just like, man, if he just played a little harder and, you know, had it going every single night or, you know, 7 out of 10 nights instead of like 5 out of 10, he would be a guy that could score 60 goals. Like, there's no reason why he can't score 60.
No, there shouldn't be any reason. Like,
he could put up in 10 games, he could score 15 goals.
Like, if he scores a hat trick, we're not like, oh my God, like, this is like, we've never seen this before. We come to expect it.
We came in with heightened expectations because he only had 4 in his first game of his career.
Exactly.
And you look at how those goals were scored. he had to work for it. Part of it was, a lot of it was skill too. I think maybe that's what it is too, is like, you know, sometimes skilled players, they're just, they're set in their ways in that, okay, this doesn't work. I'm not really going to try anything. Like, I'm not going to grind it out like a Hyman or like a, even like a Mikheyev, like those type of guys. It's just not the way.
I also don't really want Matthews grinding it out with how he's been nicked up the last couple of seasons. But I want him to play with effort. I'm not saying that.
I mean, the thing is, they were bringing up the shift in Calgary when he was getting into like a little bit of a match with Hamonic, and he just completely just shoved him out of the way. And you just watch that, and you're just like, man, if he, like, a guy his size too, he's a big man.
He was like, compared to Kopitar coming out of the draft, and he hadn't even put weight.
Yeah, it would have been a perfect comp. I mean, you just see a guy that size. I don't know. It kind of annoys me. Whenever I watch big guys on the Leafs, like the GOAT and stuff like that, it's like, why? I always see them going on the boards. It's like, why don't you just use the man to stop you instead of, and just run into the boards with them?
Yeah.
Like, it's not like it's something where you're going to injure yourself or something. Just let them know that you're around. And I like it would just create so much space for him as a player. I mean, I'm not going to compare him at all to Eric Lindros, but like, nobody fucking messed with that guy.
Yeah.
And nobody messes with Matthews.
And it's because he will run through you. He won't just like go around you. He will go through you.
But he doesn't really do that. But no, nobody screws with Matthews because he doesn't bite on any of the BS that when guys try and get in his head, he's just business.
I always say that Matthews doesn't need to sharpen his skates that much because I see him gliding a lot on the ice too. Because you see, like, he's kind of looking where the puck is. He's trying to cheat at times too, right? That's what some goal scorers do, is they try to cheat. Yeah. And get into
the problem obviously is that he's playing the one position where you, other than defense, where you can't cheat.
No. And look, his defensive effort, I've seen, like, he's made strides to, you know, go back and be an outlet and stop, you know, pick guys from behind. But I think, well, Brian Hayes mentioned this. He's like, he feels like sometimes, like, Nylander, Matthews kind of just have like this telekinetic, like, yeah, we're just not going to give it tonight. And, like, he's made the point, like, oh, do you break them up? And
I mean, no. Because those nights they, like, do show up.
But it's like, who else are you going to play him with?
The other team.
Who are you going to play him with?
Like, if you put him back with Johnsson and Kapanen, you're wasting him.
Yeah. I know, Jake, you like Kapanen, but...
Not on that line.
Not on that line. That's the thing. Kapanen has to be a third.
I have no idea how he's a righty who can't play left wing. I was a lefty who loved playing right wing. It makes no sense. And he is horrific on his off wing. It's not like he's like slightly bad. Like, he is awful on his right wing.
Yeah, I'm not liking Kapanen's game with that line. Like, even last year, there was like that stretch where he was benefiting with playing with Matthews, and then it kind of died off. And like, and even Hayes was just like, oh, it seems like Johnsson is the workhorse of the line. He does everything. Well, why does that have to be like that? Like, you see Tavares is willing to push the play and, you know, try to get the puck off guys and show more of an effort. You should not be relying on Andreas Johnsson to doing that. Because guess what? You don't have Andreas Johnsson right now.
Yeah.
I don't like Kapanen on that line. I'm hoping that...
I haven't even really liked Johnson's game. I don't know. I feel like he just takes a ton of stupid penalties.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, terrible. He does that.
Like, frustrating penalties too. Like, you can see he gets frustrated and he makes a dumb mistake because of it. Those are the worst penalties you can take out of frustration. And I'm wondering if a guy like, maybe like when Trevor Moore comes back, you slide him in there, or
he's just... Yeah, he's got to be a guy that they give a look to. Mikheyev, even, like, 2 points in the last game, I believe, if maybe more. Yeah. I didn't catch a lot of the Edmonton game. So
I like to keep Mikheyev with Kerfoot because they seem to match well as a matchup line, too. Because right now, okay, so you got Buffalo coming in. We're recording this Monday night, so Tuesday. You have Buffalo coming to town. Question is, and Austin and I are monitoring this, will Timmy make his debut? Is this Tim's debut?
Oh, buddy, I am there. I already told you I'm there in person if they put him in the lineup.
So, but this is my question, though, because Barry says he's playing. So,
fuck him.
Well, I mean, if Tyson
Barry... Put it in, Tim.
If Tyson Barry wants to...
Who plays... Who plays right for them right now? It's Barry and
Hole, probably Hole, yeah.
Barry Hole and who's the other one?
CC.
Are you fucking kidding me? I was thinking about
you
it,
forgot
like,
about him
I'm
for
like,
a second,
who,
didn't
I'm like,
you?
Who's the last guy?
Yeah. Okay, so Martin Marincin? No.
Well, in the lead, in
well, he's back up. Let's.
And Keith has been
the lead. Sure, Timmy. Marty's back up.
Oh my God, Marty! Like Marty will be moving up.
Man,
and down.
I mean, you don't want to see it, but like at this point, I would like to see maybe them no. give CeCe like a week oh. off for a reset, just to see how he would do. I mean, I don't really watch enough of the Marlies to know how well Lilligren's been playing, but even some people who are kind of down on him after you know offensively wasn't doing well, apparently he's done great. Recently.
Let's see. I haven't been paying attention to the Marlies much either. He's been overshadowed because of his sand in, but he's not playing badly. He doesn't play badly. He never has.
Well, he's kind of become more all around player, hasn't he?
Yeah, 13 points, 24 games.
That's pretty good.
He's not a goal scorer, but he can set up plays.
I mean, as long as he can skate and isn't a complete disaster, which is literally the bar right now. I mean, the thing I really want to see is I want to see Lilligren play a couple games because if they could get rid of CeCe, I mean, that's what, 4.6 million or something?
4.5.
Yeah, yeah, you could sign a backup.
Yeah, you could sign a backup. You could get a, you could do a lot of things. Maybe you can even find money to re-sign Tyson Barry if the cap goes up a couple million.
Well, CeCe's just for this year, but I think if Timothy...
You say that now.
If Lilligren is... If you give him a couple games and he looks half decent, then, yeah, you are... You're telling CeCe he's taking a backseat. Like, it doesn't... Like, I honestly... It wouldn't matter to me because right now, we don't care about CeCe's contract. We want him gone. It's weird because they brought up both of them on an emergency basis, so I guess they were wondering to see how Barry was going to practice. I guess maybe because he practiced that changes, but I don't know what their plan is. I don't know what they could have just brought up Marincin for the practice and that, like, if they felt like what's his name? If Barry wasn't healthy, like I don't. Maybe they're finally realizing. Okay, he's shown improvement, and we want to give him a shot. But I just don't know how that would work.
Hey guys.
Yeah.
Tell me if you've heard this sentence before.
Okay.
Thomas Wilson just launched himself elbow first into a guy's head.
Oh no,
Tommy! What are you doing, buddy?
Wasn't as egregious as some of his other hits. Let me calm it down a little. So but he went high on a Blue Jackets player.
Oh, what a dope!
And then he fought Savard afterwards.
Oh yeah, John Turrell's gonna have something to say after the game. Oh, Columbus is winning 3-0, and he throws that hit. Shocker.
Who's going to say that?
Tortorella. Torch will probably say something.
Tortorella. I was like, what? What did you just say?
Torch will have a field day with that one.
Torch is already rattled after Anthony DeClaire potted 3 on him after he said he couldn't play hockey.
Yeah, that wasn't good. Not good, guy. It's like, you know that gif is not good?
Pretty unsmart.
I'm trying to, like, I'm only seeing, like, fast... things of the. I want like a slowed down version of it.
It's a weird angle too. It's from the opposite corner.
Let's see.
But the guy stays down and he's holding his head.
The guy.
It's not the worst hit. Yeah, he's ever thrown, seen a lot. Which is a sad thing to say.
I've seen a lot worse, and the guy is also small in comparison. Yeah. Davis Savard.
He's gonna get. He's gonna get something for that though.
Potentially, depending on.
Fine. Probably.
So okay, this is my question. If you're the Leafs, you bring up Liljegren. Do you give him a game with the back?
Yeah, you have to. I mean, at this point, I'd give him at least a game. I mean, if this was Babcock, no fucking way he gets in the game. But
sits in the press box for a week.
Yeah, he'd sit in the press box for a week. Like, it would be so stupid. But I actually think there's a chance he'll get some run.
Okay.
He has to. Especially since Keith's coached Liljegren since he came to North America. He's not going to sit him.
All right. Well, we'll be on the Timmy watch.
Oh, I will be on Timmy watch. Like, tomorrow morning, Dave, at, like, 10:30. If he's practicing with the line rushes. Or heading to Ticketmaster.
I'm this is a thing, because they could say he's... he might... It could be one of those where they might decide at, like, 4 o'clock. Because now Keith does those...
Well, I mean, we were supposed to go to the Avalanche game, and then we didn't because Hutchinson was supposed to start, and then Freddie put himself in.
Freddie put himself in, and they still lost.
After it was too late. Yeah. Oh, that was Spezza's fault, but he's played all right.
That was all Spezza's fault, but yeah, he's all right.
I mean, other than that one really dumb mistake, and somebody tried to blame it on Riley.
I kind of did. Well, I'm like, just like,
why are you expecting your own player to set a fucking pick on you in the offensive zone?
I know. It was in the moment. Wasn't smart. Okay.
It's just anyhow.
So, couple of things before we shut her down for the podcast. So they play the Sabres tomorrow, then they have a back-to-back against the Rangers and Red Wings. If they don't come up with at least 2 wins in those 3 games, something is very wrong.
I'm going to that game against the Rangers. I'm excited for it.
Man, where's my invite?
If you wanted to come, you could come. I have an extra ticket. I had to give it away to my friend Kevin, who's a Bruins fan.
Oh, what the hell?
Yeah.
That should have...
I love going to
MSG. He's on his way to New Jersey now.
Isn't Chris coming to
New Jersey? He is. I was going to invite Chris, but he gets in... like at 9 o'clock, at 7 o'clock. So there's no way he could get there.
In New York traffic? No. No way.
No. There's no chance.
He might get one of the 3 stars.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe like the last one, but for like $120 a ticket, I'd prefer to take someone who actually can watch the whole game.
Damn it, Chris. Take an earlier flight next time. That is poor planning on Chris's part, because A, if you look at the schedule, where are the Leafs, and if they're going to New York, you're planning around that stuff. But
yeah, I've always said it's like not even close. It's the nicest, it's the best place to play hockey, like night in, night out. Like, obviously, you know, special occasions playing in like Toronto or Montreal or Vegas or something like that, but New York, that building is unbelievable. I love it so much.
Nothing beats the Barclays Center.
Everything beats the Barclays Center.
So says you.
Rico beats the Barclays Center.
Oh,
got him.
That's bad. Yeah, so they play the Sabres, and they have Rangers and the Red Wings on a back-to-back. Then an interesting Monday 2 p.m. start with their next-gen game. I think that's what they're calling it, Austin.
They're playing the Hurricanes, right?
Their annual 2 p.m. game against the Hurricanes.
That was the one where they absolutely...
Basically, how to burn a home date 101.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, gonna
happen. I love the Hurricanes just look at their schedule and they're just like, what the fuck?
They're like, God damn it.
Yeah, Dougie Hamilton. Man, I don't have time for the museum today.
I wanted to go to the ROM. This is... bullshit.
Well, actually, a good thing for him is he can go meet family after the game.
Yes, he can.
Go for a nice dinner. Depending on if the Hurricanes have to fly out the next day, that would be shit. But okay, so they have a pretty an easier stretch. They have the Sabres, the Rangers, the Red Wings, the Hurricanes. Then they have the Devils and the Rangers.
Yeah.
And the
Wild.
If they don't beat the Devils, is it in New Jersey?
Yes, it is.
Might have to go to that one. It'll probably be like $40.
That is on Friday, December 27th, Jake.
Oof. Yeah, might be able to do that again.
God damn it.
Tickets are actually insanely cheap.
Yes.
That's why I like going there.
Well,
good old Prudential.
Well, yeah. Next time I'll
It's kind of a disaster, the area around it. Nice building, though.
Yeah. So didn't they just renovate?
No, it was built in like 2009 or something.
Right,
like
it's
that.
New.
Yeah.
It's a relatively new rink. I remember that.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. I've played there before.
Ooh, fancy. All right. So we think that this could be a decent stretch for the Leafs. They play on New Year's Eve. I didn't even realize that. 6 o'clock.
Yeah, don't they play some like really dumpy team?
They play in Vegas again.
No. They play
the Wild.
Don't tell me. Oh, they play the Wild. That's right.
Oh my god. They got to get out of there as soon as possible.
New Year's Eve in scenic Minneapolis, Minnesota. Sorry, St. Paul or whatever the hell they play.
They got to get out of there as soon as the game is done. Remember, I don't remember last year. I think they're like, we'll spend the night in Vegas or something like that. Yeah, they got to get
out. Oh, yeah, that was atrocious.
Oh, and then they play the Jets. Ooh, that's a
tough one.
So, next one, Austin. Jake, it is what I like to call the most wonderful time of the year. It is World Juniors time.
Ha, yes.
The last few years, I don't know, the tournament has not really brought... It's funny because last year it was in Vancouver.
And 2 years ago, Canada won.
But the
last year's tournament was kind of garbage because they were out so early.
Yeah,
who did they lose to? They lost to Finland, right?
Yeah.
Kako.
How the hell did they play Finland? And it was like the quarters, right?
They were not very good. Like, so it was...
I mean, they were done when they played that bum as the starting goalie over
Scott.
What's his name? Ian Scott. Like
Michael DiPietro.
It made no sense. Like, he was garbage the entire tournament.
Well,
yeah, it's Canada just puts like the most tenured goaltender in the net, and it's not.
Yeah,
it's
so dumb. Like, I don't know why they it almost cost them. I remember they did that in 2002. It almost cost them a gold medal when they just played Brodeur. He was hurt, or was it Brodeur?
No, it was first it was Cujo, then they moved to Brodeur.
I don't think so. I think they benched. I think they was it.
I remember
where,
this.
Where was they benched? They benched Brodeur in one of them. I think
it was
2010.
Yeah, for
2010.
Longer.
So it was 2010 when they benched him because Brodeur definitely he won one of them, but they benched him in 2010. Like. I don't know how you don't just run with the hot goalie, but I don't know. It's stupid, especially considering they played like a 15-0 game.
Yeah, they always have one of those games where they play like Latvia or Switzerland or no, Switzerland's been pretty good recently, but Austria or one of those teams that they just run them over to start the tournament.
Oh wow. DiPietro had a 1-2-3 and a 9-5-2. Those were his stats at the World Juniors. Jesus Christ. I guess I'm being I guess he just had two awful games or something.
I think the knockout rounds were not great for him, but he was okay in the round robin.
He had to have played that 17-0 game. Who did they beat 17-0? It wasn't Switzerland, was it?
It had to have been one of those. No. They like back in the day when like Niederreiter was the only player on Switzerland, they beat them like 15-0. Belarus.
I'm looking this up right now as you're talking. So
it's usually one of those teams that just got called up that Canada gets like in the first game.
Let's see.
That was Kazakhstan, so I don't think they played Kazakhstan. I thought it was Switzerland, to be honest. Or Denmark. It was Denmark. It was Denmark. Yeah.
Yeah,
they shit kicked them.
Yeah, 14-0 against Denmark. Then they beat Switzerland 3-2.
Poor Freddie. Freddie was in shambles watching that one.
Then they beat the Czech 5-1. They lost to Russia in the final preliminary game.
Right.
Then they lost.
U.S. wasn't in our thing. Oh, right. Right.
No.
They're in our bracket this year. That's who they opened the tournament against.
Who's in? Isn't their bracket ridiculous? Isn't it like Russia, USA, and like Switzerland?
It goes by standing in the last tournament.
Yeah.
Well, the U.S. It was Finland and Russia last year, right?
It's usually the U.S. and Russia that end up with Canada.
No, Finland, U.S. was the final last year.
Was it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because Kako scored the OT winner.
And then it was Sweden or it was Switzerland versus Russia in the final, in the goal.
That's
final,
right.
In the bronze.
That's right. I remember when people were cheering for Switzerland.
Jesus Christ! Denmark had 0 goals in 26. Goals allowed. Are they not even in the tournament?
No, because Kazakhstan's in the tournament.
Yeah, I know. But who's the team that moved up?
Kazakhstan's in there. Slovakia's in there.
Yeah, but one team moved up, like a Latvia or something, from D1AA.
Well, it had to be Kazakhstan.
No, they were in it last year.
Were they?
Wasn't it?
Then it was probably Slovakia.
Was it Germany?
It was probably... no, I think it was Slovakia.
I think it might have been Germany.
Hmm.
Is Germany in the tournament?
Yeah,
Germany's
in
the tournament.
Yeah, they weren't there last. Oh yeah, it was them because
it's Germany.
They're
yeah,
in Canada's
Germany.
Bracket.
Moritz Seider was on their team when they won the qualification tournament.
So we should be seeing him at the tournament this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Germany's always has like one really good player. That's a country I would love to see start getting really good at the sport because
they could get really good.
That's
at the sport too.
That's just a country filled with like massive athletic people.
Yeah. Yes. So Canada's group is the Czech Republic, Canada, Russia, Germany, the U.S. Pretty easy group. Like only Russia and the States would really give you a problem when you're. I mean, actually, I think the other group is easier because you have Finland, Sweden. And like Switzerland, Slovakia, and Kazakhstan. But, all right. So, first and foremost, Canada. Austin, who are we looking forward to seeing?
Canada. Well, I mean, the obvious ones are Lafreniere and Byfield. The top. Well, they're supposed to be the top two picks in this draft. Jamie Drysdale is another one that's supposed to be like definitely a lottery pick, but might fall outside the top 10. He's their 7th D man right now. The goaltending's a little leaves to be much to be desired. Not much, but a little bit.
Well,
it's not
Canada
as...
and shaky goaltending, shocker.
Olivier Rodrigue is supposed to be the starter, but Nico Dawes is, I believe he's on Peterborough.
I've never even heard of these guys. This might be the first year I've never heard of the goalie for Canada.
Olivier Rodrigue's a QMJHL goalie, and he played in the Hlinka this past year.
What did you say his name is? Olivier Rodriguez?
Rodrigue. He's a.
Is he like from Mexico or something with
the
name Rodriguez?
No, he's French. He might play for Drummondville in the queue. Mm. That sounds possibly right.
He was drafted by Edmonton.
Yeah. They have a couple of good goalies, Edmonton, but that's neither here nor there. Dawson Mercer is supposed to be a really good player. He's like one of those guys that Canada invites, sort of like Brett Leeson last year, where he's just put up a ton of points and he wasn't on the radar to start the year. Or Drake Batherson from a couple of years ago, like one of those guys that you don't know their name and then they make an impact on the team.
So to fill you in, Olivier Rodrigue, he plays for the Moncton Wildcats.
There we are.
He has a .907 save percentage and a 2.79 goals against. So
check on Nico Dawes because he was the one that Mark Masters listed as the starter in their last practice.
All right,
I think it's Dawes.
Yeah, not like the usual Dawes.
Not Nigel Dawes.
Nope.
KHL legend.
Plays for the Guelph Storm in the OHL. He is eligible for this draft. He has a .939 save percentage and 2.06 goals against.
Okay,
why are
we
having this conversation? We know which one should be
playing. Well, that shows you how much I've been paying attention to the coverage so far. I saw the roster announcement, and everyone went, Rodrigue is the most experienced, and Canada loves him, so he'll get the start. But yeah, you're gonna ride the hot hand, and Nico Dawes will probably be the starter.
They're all the same birth year too. It's just that Nico Dawes has the later, like he's the December, so that's why.
What else to look forward to? Joe Valeno is supposed to get loaned by Detroit.
Did Byfield make the team?
Yeah.
Oh he's yeah, he did. He's right here.
He and Lafreniere are both playing wing. That's why it's throwing everyone off.
6'4", 215. Jesus
I think Christ. One of them's playing wing while Barrett Hayden plays center, and that's going to be a disgusting duo.
Like
they got some pretty big kids on this team.
Yeah, like Dylan Cousins is gonna be good.
Dylan Cousins is 6'4", and he's probably the fastest skater on the team next to Byfield.
That's the Buffalo pick, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He flies.
There's a Raphael Lavoie. He's
6'4". Oilers second rounder. He's good. A lot of the people said last year when he was being drafted that he fell so much because he was a little lackadaisical when he played during the season, but he picked that up.
Nolan Foote is going to be.
Nolan Foote, I have no idea.
Hey, he's a Tampa pick. We already know he's going to be a stud.
Yeah, he's Adam Foote's other son. He's Cal's brother. So he's a good player. I just have never seen him play.
Yeah, like, well, I mean, because they play all the way out west. Kelowna, though,
he plays for Kelowna, I believe, still, unless he got traded.
They all play for Kelowna. The Foots? Cal
33 points in 25 games, so.
Okay, so. Check Dawson Mercer, because I've heard a lot about him. I don't remember what team he plays for. He's in the queue, I believe.
He
plays for Drummondville.
There you go. So he plays for Drummondville, and I guess he would have been a teammate of Valeno's then. Defense is a lot of returning guys. It's Jared McIsaac. It's Ty Smith, who was Devils' 11th or 12th. No, first-round pick. Ty Smith, yeah,
he was 15.
That's
right, he slipped.
That draft.
No, that was the year that the Hall won the MVP and they finished like barely out of the lottery.
Well,
yeah,
and Kevin Ball, the guy who was just traded for Taylor Hall, is on the team. God, 6'7", 240. That guy's a beast.
Just a moose.
I guess their best defender has to be Bowen Byram,
or one. Yeah, talent wise, easily.
Yeah, Drysdale's up there, but he's an underager still. Not an underager, but he's a draftier guy, so he hasn't quite filled out yet. Apparently he's supposed to be like one of the smoothest skaters anyone's ever seen.
Let's also talk about the most important, like the bigger name of the whole tournament. Dale Hunter's coaching this year, guys.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I just can't believe they got him.
Yeah, really?
I mean,
who was it last? It was Howard Chuck last year, right?
Might have been actually. What is it, Canada?
And Mark Hunter's the GM, so if Canada wins a gold medal, you'll be sure to hear from a lot of fans of a certain fan base about keeping a person with spectacles over him.
Let's see.
That's all I have to say about that.
Wow, how come this is getting way too hard to look up information for this tournament.
Yeah, the junior tournaments, the one pet peeve I have with them is that, like, you try for the Hlinka or the Junior A Challenge, it's ridiculous trying to find stats or information on the prospects. Because they don't make new sites every year. They just wipe the site and all the stats and stuff. It's terrible.
Yeah, it's like, I want to find out who the Team Canada coach was last year.
Yeah, they wipe the rosters. They do. It's terrible.
Not only that, they wipe out anything. Like, they're playing, Dale Hunter, coach. I'm like, I don't need to know this year. I need to know.
I think it was Dale Hawerchuk, but it doesn't really matter. He's not the coach this year, so whatever.
Oh, you know what? It might have been the coach from the 67s.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Tim Hunter. I remember that now. Why didn't I think of that? Tim Hunter, he's the coach out in the WHL with Moose Jaw. Or he was Moose Jaw, I think. Oh, he still is the head coach of Moose Jaw. That's right.
Bring Stan Butler in. He'll be fine.
I've been a big Lafreniere follower for the last couple years when they were starting to talk about him as the next, not Crosby, but the next best guy to come out of that area.
They call him next Crosby because, he plays for Rimouski and he also... I think he was the first 16-year-old to score It was either 30 or 40 since Crosby did it.
Jesus.
So the Crosby hype has more to do with his playing for the exact same junior team, but he's very good. They've been holding him out, though, camp when they first opened. Yeah, I think he played a 3-3 or a 4-4 or some crazy shit. He played all three for Rimouski, so like right before he flew out, and then he took a red eye into wherever the hell they started camp, Guelph or wherever it was. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he was burnt out to start camp, but I think he's good now.
So my question, the last part of this before we go,
yeah,
Leafs fans, what can they look forward to? We already we'll start the obvious on that. Rasmus Sandin has been loaned to Sweden. Were you guys surprised to hear that?
I like it.
I kind of was.
Yeah, a little bit.
I don't know. It seems like he's kind of above that level.
I mean, the Leafs have enough, or the Marlies have enough bodies to make do without him for 2 weeks, so I guess it's a nice little thing for him. As long as he doesn't get
hurt,
injured, yeah, like Nylander a couple of years ago when he got concussed.
My issue is, as Jake is kind of like, I felt like this would be like the whole reason when they sent him back to the Marlies was to prioritize his development. So I don't know if maybe this is just something because he missed out last year. Or no, he played last year. It was Liljegren.
Yes. Liljegren was injured. He had a high ankle sprain or something.
Sandin did play last year.
Yeah.
I guess maybe they just wanted to give him that opportunity. Yeah, you just hope he doesn't get hurt. That's the important part. Another Leafs prospect that is playing is Nick Robertson. He is a forward, not a defenseman.
Thanks, David.
Hey, some people don't know that.
Didn't even catch that.
I guess that's the first thing I heard.
Fuck. All right.
But he's a guy that's, when you're looking at guy, like, you know, Jake, you always talk about like getting guys outside of the first round that can be impactful players. This might just be the guy that the Leafs have been trying to get and land.
They've been clamoring for getting one of those guys. It's been a long time.
So he has, like, this year he has 23 goals in 22 games in the OHL. With the Peterborough Preet, who, no offense, are not exactly a juggernaut team in the O. I think, Austin, I wouldn't be going too far-fetched with that assessment of the Peterborough Petes.
Peterborough Petes are very good, and they have two Leaf prospects playing on their top line, and they have Liam Kirk, who is British, if you've never heard of Liam Kirk. So they're a fun little team to watch.
Now, we've been trying... The one thing we were trying to do before we came on was trying to figure out if there were any other prospects that we're going to go... Who was the one that we were looking for?
Mikko Kokkonen is the one that I believe. I couldn't find a for sure thing saying that they had cut down their roster and he was or wasn't on it. But the last thing I read is 4 days ago he made it through the first round of cuts for Finland. And I'm assuming they're going to cut it pretty close because they have a couple of injuries. Anton Lundell being the big one, he's their top 10 prospect this year. So I think they're going to wait until like Christmas Day. I think you have to submit your final roster the day before Boxing Day. So I think they'll wait out and make final cuts then, so we might not hear until right before the tournament starts, but he made it through. Third rounder from this past draft, and small guy, offensive defenseman. I don't know a ton about him, but the Leafs did right by him and stuck him back in Liga. He's playing for Ukarit right now. Hope that's how you pronounce it. And he's doing pretty well. So, that's about all I could find. I'm assuming Philip Kroll is – the Czechs are in this tournament, I guess, because they're hosting.
Yes, they are.
They're in the tournament.
Yeah, I would think so. I didn't know if it was like
Are the games being played in Prague or
– Oh, that would be unreal.
That is a very, very good question, Jake. Let's see.
Because, like, that would be – that would be fun as shit.
Yeah, Prague's a time.
They are. I got the arenas here, so we will. There's two arenas.
I'm assuming one of them has to be the KHL team's arena.
Two.
One is in Trinec, and the other one is in Ruska.
Oh.
This is a pretty nice arena, though.
Yeah.
All the European arenas are nice, generally. Yeah.
They're all really nice.
Good atmosphere. Not really.
They're smaller, but they're, yeah. But, I mean, the main one, Ostrava, holds 10,000 people. The other one, Work, is 5,500, which is, I mean, it's a pretty good-sized barn.
I mean, like, when Canada had it... Canada had it at, you know, in Vancouver, and they had it in Victoria, so and they've had it in junior arenas before when they've gone to like the East Coast and when they've gone to like Saskatchewan and stuff like that. So
they play in junior barns, so it's nothing new for them.
I think one year I was listening to Spit and Chicklets, and wasn't it Brian Berard that said like he wanted to play in the World Juniors and ended up being in Buffalo, and it was in like this like amateur rank, and he couldn't believe it.
Oh no, it was Boston.
Was it
honestly
Boston?
Buffalo
maybe
wouldn't be the worst
Witt,
place
maybe
to
it was
play.
Witt
and they
that mentioned it maybe. Maybe it was no wait no never mind. Witt would have been in when the tournament was actually more prominent.
No, it was Boston because I played in the rink where they played it. It's like where they play like kids tournaments.
Oh, it's like Canlan.
Oh man, what's it called? That's gonna annoy me so much.
Buffalo wouldn't be a bad spot. Like they've played it there recently, and they have the cool thing about there is that they have the smaller arena that the Buttes play at. That's attached to the KeyBank Center.
What year
so the entire tournament's
been
in the same area?
It would have been early. It would have been like early years, right?
Yeah. When did Berard play? That would have been like the '80s.
95.
Yeah.
80s, man. He's like 46.
I don't know.
He's like 40, mid-40s.
Let's see. 1996 looks like it could be the year. Yep. Hosted in Mass. Where the hell is the arena, though? Wow. I tell you, so freaking hard to find anything on.
Oh, it was in Worcester. That was it.
Oh, yeah.
Worcester, let's go.
Oh, my God, man. Holy crap. Those rinks were so small.
Yeah, they're like what we have here in, Amherst and Marlborough.
Yeah, man, like in Worcester too, they have these rinks where basically they were saying they used to put paper, like brown paper over windows so people could pay to go in and watch the games.
That's right. That's what they mentioned on the podcast. That's right.
Yeah. No, that's hilarious.
Well, glad we were able to get that out. This tournament usually I mean the last few years I've been working, so it's tough for actually no wait yeah the sometimes I go away and I don't watch the tournament when I'm away, but it's easier to watch when it's in Canada because of the time change. Next year's in Edmonton and Red Deer, so
yeah, that was a good turn. They did the Holinka with those two venues, but it was do you remember that Holinka? It was Kirby Doc and the squad that's playing now. It was their Holinka year. And they won. They tied the game in the U.S. with no time left. But because Red Deer was a junior barn and they didn't have cameras, they didn't let them review on any stadium during the tournament.
I think so, yeah.
So I think that's the same deal this time, unless Red Deer's added cameras so they can review stuff.
Well, we'll find that out. But
Nick Robertson was on the U.S. team that year as well. He scored 2 goals in that game.
That's something to look forward to. If you're a Leafs fan, you at least have.
Yeah, watch the U.S. Nick Robertson's going to have a tournament.
And we shall see with Tim, and then hopefully the Leafs during that time will still. I mean, that's the thing too. Is like the Leafs they'll still be playing, but people should be keeping their eye on this tournament for sure, even though they don't have a first round. This is the part that always gets me, is that the tournament at times used to be a great way to showcase the upcoming draft guys, and then we now it kind of feels like, oh, you're a draft prospect. I don't know if we want to give you that. Go with the guys who have been drafted or have a little more experience. I feel like
Canada doesn't like that.
I actually think it's kind of gone the other way. I mean, it used to be a 19-year-old tournament. Now it's kind of like an 18-year-old tournament. Because I remember, like, even for Canada, their best players have not been guys who were drafted 2 years ago. It's usually guys who are either draft eligible or 1 year removed from their draft. Like, even looking back,
Canada never years. Did.
Yeah.
Like, them taking Lafreniere last year, no matter how good he was kind of surprising still. Because he wasn't McDavid.
The only team that still does that is pretty much Russia.
Russia last year,
always has a veteran team.
They took Podkolzin last year, and that was ridiculous. Like, everyone had no idea what Brogan was doing because he doesn't take underagers or draft prospects.
Yeah, they usually almost never take.
Take a full limit team at 19.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's worked. They've had great success, so.
It's fine, but, like, yeah. The only time he's taken overage guys has been, like, Ovechkin, Malkin, and then. I don't know if Kuznetsov had already been drafted, but the 1 year he and Yakupov were together.
Yep, Kuznetsov had it too. He was unbelievable.
Yeah, that year was ridiculous. I'm pretty sure they both wore black skate holders as well during that tournament.
Yeah, I think he might have, like, the record for most points. He had, like, he had to have had, like, 20 points or something like that. I remember Yakupov, when he was draft eligible, he had... he had like 15 assists or something.
Yeah, he was ridiculous.
I just remember one of my favorite years of watching the World Juniors was 2009.
Yep.
And the funny part is, when I look back at the roster, only two guys were draft eligible on that team, and that was Tavares and Ryan Ellis. But that team, like, I look at this blue line. Okay, Keith Ollie, he was a decent junior player at the time.
Lead
it off with Keith Ollie.
Bogosian on it?
No, so it was Ryan Ellis.
Subban was on it.
Yeah, Subban, Thomas Hickey, Cody Gulabev. I don't know who that is.
There's always, all those old Canada rosters are always some studs, and then a couple of guys that are like, really?
Tyler Myers
was there. But they were good in junior.
Tyler Myers was there, Alex Pietrangelo. Or Pietrangelo, however you want to say it. PK. The Forge, though. I didn't realize Jamie Benn was on that team.
Yeah.
Jamie Benn.
You look back on those teams, you're like, oh my God. Him?
Like Zach Boychuk, Patrice Cormier. Remember Patrice Cormier?
You remember Jacob De La Rivera was a top line forward for Canada for like
Stefan
3 years? Stefan
De La Rivera.
Sorry, not Jacob. I'm an idiot.
Chris DiDomenico.
Chris DiDomenico. I remember him. He got slashed in the face celebrating a goal.
Yep. He was a Leafs prospect at that time, too.
JVR was in that game for the U.S.
Yeah, Jordan Eberle was there. Tyler Ennis.
Tavares.
Angelo Esposito. Cody Hodgson. That was a fun tour. I remember that was the year that really got me, like, full throttle into the turn, like, into that time of the year.
Yeah, it was great. So the record, also... the Canadian record for most points at a tournament at the World Juniors, guess. I'll be impressed if you get it.
Most points at a World Juniors?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
I'm gonna go with 22, and that's ridiculously high.
I think it was.
Oh,
it,
no, I'm saying who, some... I'm saying who was it?
Oh, was it? Oh. Was it?
It was 18 points. No, it was this decade. Well, I'm saying for a Canadian player.
Oh, Canadian, I'm sorry. Oh Jesus. Hold on.
I'm trying,
God.
This would have had to been within like that time frame.
Was it like Brandon Cozen or something stupid?
It was in, what'd you say?
Was it Brandon Cozen or something dumb?
No, it was in 2011.
Was it
Brady Shen?
Yeah, that's, 18 points.
Wow, 18. Okay, I wasn't that far off.
Dale McCourt share it, and he finished with one more point than.
You meant Dale McCourt was on that team.
Like, no, Dale McCourt, 1977. So Braden Shen and Dale McCord share the record. They have one more than two scrubs, Wayne Gretzky and Eric Lindros.
I thought Lindros had the record for most. Or was that
he did, and then he got broken. He had 17 points. Him and Gretzky had 17 points. The record is, like, it's not even going to be fucking touched. Guess what the record is. It's unbelievable.
Well, Line A was up there the 1 year, but that's definitely not it. Wasn't it Ovechkin or Malkin?
No. It's two Hall of Famers who are up there. Two.
It's Lemieux.
No, they're Swedish.
Forsberg.
Yeah. Oh. 31 points. Did he literally play against, like, a kid's team? Wow. 31 points in 7 games. That's 4.5 points a game. Like,
especially, well, I mean, that time, that was, what, the 90s?
How's that even possible?
Oh, my God. It's ridiculous.
I remember, like,
was Sundin the other one?
No, it was Marcus Naslin.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, he had, like, what, 24 points in the tournament or something like that?
24 points.
I keep bringing up Ovechkin because
24 assists, so he had 3.5 assists a game.
God damn.
The Russian record is Alexander McGillney. The Finnish record is Esa Tikkanen and Jesse Puljujärvi.
Yep.
Yeah, because Puljujärvi set up Line A on, like, every goal in the 16 tournament.
Man, that's the World Juniors just – some guys really just – dominated, absolutely crushed it.
Yeah.
And then they went on to play Fortnite and never score 40 again.
No. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, Robert Reichel was a good player at that time, too.
Line A was a monster in that tournament.
Yeah. Well, it was him, Puljujärvi.
Shout out to Jake Burton and throwing a guy from behind into the boards to give them a power play to win the game as well.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
World Junior Hero.
Always the Jakes, huh? Always the Jakes.
The worst.
Yep.
Well, gentlemen, that was a lot of fun. I always forget how much fun the World Juniors are. Hopefully, now I don't think we're going to be recording in until after Christmas time, because we all got families and stuff. And I'm sure you do too. We will maybe we'll save our first podcast after the first opening game of the World Juniors. Boxing Day.
Yeah, that could work. That'd be fun.
So we will we'll keep an eye on that. I think Canada plays at 1:00. So if you're looking for something to do on Boxing Day after you have done your shopping or you're trying to get over your hangover from Christmas, let's pop open the World Juniors. It's probably one of the better tournaments to watch during the time. Probably the best hockey to watch during that time, honestly. I actually have kind of liked it over the Olympics in some years. I just feel like these young guys really. That's why I always thought that would have been a good alternative to the Olympics was just to have the World Juniors be the Olympics. But.
It would be interesting for sure.
But with that being said, you guys can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or anywhere where you get your podcasts. Follow all of our stuff on tipofthetower.com. From here in Toronto, David, Austin out in Pickering, and Jake down in Jersey. So, thank you guys for listening, and we will catch you all next time.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator.
Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.